This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to Pressing Matters, the show where we go behind the headlines and explore issues driving the press. I'm Shazana Mukhtar. Last Friday, graphic designer and political artist Fahmi Reza was arrested for investigation. The police were acting on a report made by Pasir Mas Member of Parliament Fadli Shahri over a Spotify playlist and cover art which allegedly insulted the Raja Permaisuri Agong. For a rundown of what happened and what the reaction has been so far, I speak to independent journalist Norman Goh, who's been following the issue. Hi, Norman. Can we start with getting a background on who Fahmi Reza is? How would you describe Fahmi Reza and his influence in the media landscape?
I would say Fahmi has always been a symbol of defiance. He doesn't really care about a person's status or whatnot. And his artwork has always been very current and is more of an expression of how people react to certain current issues, both politically or even socially. So he's still among a very influential artist, more often taking swipes at people in power or with influence. He would always come up with very creative ways, sometimes pretty direct, in response to the issues. And what you can see that many resonates with that.
And Fahmi himself is no stranger to political controversies that arise from his work. What's the crux of the current controversy?
He is being investigated for his Spotify playlist cover showing the Raja Permaisuri Agong. And he was being investigated under Sedition Act, Section 4, Clause 1, as well as Section 223 of Communications and Multimedia Act.
And how did the news break about his arrest?
So I was just trying to finish up some work yesterday evening. Then I received a message from a friend of mine in Kuching. You know, all the way in Kuching, they heard that Fahmi was arrested. So I went to check online some of the chatters on Twitter. Most of them said, I've heard about it. So I went out to check out some of the information. So I managed to call up Fahmi's lawyer, Yurendra Nadarajan, as well as the police chief of Dang Wangi Police, the ACP Zainal Abdullah. They confirmed his arrest. And I think later on, it was sometime around midnight, the PDRM Facebook page posted the statement and confirming that Fahmi Reza is being investigated under these two acts.
And you were at the police station on Saturday morning after his arrest. What was the mood there like?
I think mood were very, very cautious. Supporters and activists came as early as 8:30 a.m. It was just right after a shower, rain that early morning. People were carrying placards showing solidarity with Fahmi. A candlelight vigil was held the night before with about a dozen activists. As I mentioned earlier, they remained very cautious. Under the eyes of the police presence nearby, they were in plain cloth and uniform. I think about a dozen of them. And even a police mobile vehicle was parked nearby. And in between, while waiting for the lawyers to come out from the police station, the police mobile vehicle actually blasted loud hailers, reminding supporters to keep physical distance in the midst of the pandemic.
I see. Okay. So even outside the police precinct, there was noticeable police monitoring of the crowd that was gathered for Fahmi Reza.
Yes, and the police was taking videos, photos of people around. And in the midst of that, they kept reminding each other to keep the physical distance.
Mm-hmm. So from your observations, how was the public response to his arrest, both in the crowd that was at the police station, as well as more broadly on social media and other avenues?
I think the crowd was all right. When the two lawyers came out and then confirmed that Fahmi is going to be remanded for a day and to be released later in the evening, they were clapping. Earlier on, they did not chant, unlike previous ones it was just weeks ago when we saw some of the opposition political members were being called in to give statements at Dang Wangi Police, the same place. Mm-hmm. There were chants of Tamat Darurat. But this time, they were keeping quiet. It's like a silent protest holding placards. Mm-hmm. And again, the public were very, very careful, even in the social media space. Very careful and very cautious in responding to the arrest of Fahmi Reza. Mm-hmm. But definitely you can see that sort of people are being very alarmed that a satire artist was arrested in this manner. Mm-hmm. So this is also like a reminiscence of what happened to Fahmi before. In the previous previous administration, when he was found guilty and sentenced to 1 month jail and 30,000 fine over the infamous clown caricature of Pekan MP and former PM Najib Razak in February 2018. Mm-hmm. But that later, after general elections, the court dropped all charges against him in October 2018. But I think as much as the authorities are clamping down on comments or critics on the 3R, race, religion, or royalty, I mean, the Communications and Multimedia Ministry's official Facebook has even posted reminding the public not to post comments or even anything related to the 3R. You know, there's the general sense of dissatisfaction, discontent among the public.
What are you drawing from this and other incidents of investigation into sedition? Is this part of a broader trend that we're seeing?
Well, you know, for particularly on Sedition Act itself, just this year alone, and we look at 1 year, the past year, we've seen cases being investigated under Sedition Act. For example, Stephen Gunn and Charles Santiago, it was back in February this year. The Yumani was investigated in November last year. YB Mujahid Yusuf Rawa, November last year. Ronnie Liu, Al Jazeera's documentary, the book written by Kin Wong, Rebirth, as well as Hannah Yeoh back in June last year. Mm-hmm. So what we are seeing now, it's like a pattern to clamp down dissents and critics behind the facade of the unwritten lesser majestic law, race, and religion.
Just a point of clarification, Norman. I mean, we mentioned that these cases of sedition have been called in for investigation, but none of them have actually amounted to charges, have they?
In so far, I think none have been amounted to charges. It's more of investigation. But this is a classic strategy, a diversion from the actual pressing issues, such as calls to end the emergency, new rising COVID-19 cases, schools are being closed, and rising unemployment cases in the public. Again, this, you can actually link how these things actually come together, that the drop of the press freedom ranking is also very apparent. Mm-hmm. It reflects the shrinking space of freedom expression and allowing discourse as well as healthy discussion within the society. Mm-hmm. So I think looking at this, how things are going to move forward is that, you know, a lot of things are going to be very heavily politicized and divided, and there's a very thin line. And this will further push people to self-censor in expressing their views openly. Or, you know, people are being reminded all of the time about risk of getting arrested or being intimidated.
Mm-hmm. So you anticipate seeing a clear chilling effect from this case. We know Fahmi has been released from detention on Saturday evening, and we'll just have to wait and see whether further action is taken. Thanks for the rundown, Norman.
Thanks for having me.
That was independent journalist Norman Goh laying down what we know about the police investigation on Fahmi Reza. Up next, I'll be speaking to lawyer Niu Sin Yu to discuss the laws being applied in this case. BFM 89.9. Hello, if you've just joined us, this is Pressing Matters on the Morning Run. I'm Shazana. We're discussing the police investigation of political artist Fahmi Reza over a Spotify playlist and cover art that allegedly insulted the Raja Brahmaisuri Agong. Joining me is lawyer Niu Sin Yu to help us understand the legal aspects of the case. Good morning, Sin Yu. Now, the police were acting in response to a report that was made over a Facebook post on Fahmi Reza's account about the Spotify playlist. So help us understand the process of how the police decide whether to pursue an investigation or not.
Well, under the law, a police officer is required to receive any police reports made regarding the commission of an offence. So if the report contains sufficient grounds for the police to proceed further, then the police will investigate the matter. And investigations will usually entail requiring witnesses to attend at the police station for their statements to be taken. There could be searches done or arrests in a typical police investigation. But the police do not actually investigate every single report that they receive. If the report in the police mind doesn't contain sufficient grounds of the commission of an offence, then the police will not act on it. I suppose in Fahmi's case, the police chose to act on the report.
And when does an investigation result in an actual charge brought against a suspect?
Once the investigation is completed, the police will refer the matter to the prosecution. The police don't get to decide whether or not a charge is brought against a suspect, because that is solely within the discretion of the public prosecutor. If it is clear from the investigations that an offence has been committed, then the prosecution may bring a charge against a suspect. Mm-hmm. So that's the procedure. If the police decide from the outset that there is no offence, they will not investigate it. And you know, there will be no further action taken.
Mm-hmm.
Not every matter results in a report to the public prosecutor, because the police is independent from the prosecution, even though they work hand in hand, but they are not answerable to the public prosecutor.
Okay, so they can decide to investigate, but then if they feel that there's really nothing to be brought to the public prosecutor, it can just end with that.
Yes.
In terms of procedure and the manner of Fahmi Reza's arrest, there was a lot of surprise over how he was actually apprehended. I mean, that it took so many officers, that it required him to be detained overnight. What are the rules governing police action in this kind of scenario?
Well, this is a bit of a gray area. The Criminal Procedure Code, which is the law that governs police powers, or one of the laws rather, it's silent on this. But I'm sure there's some Inspector General standing orders on arrests and procedures thereunder. But this is protected under the Official Secrets Act. But in Fahmi's case, it was reported that 7 police officers were sent to arrest Fahmi. And it's also reported on social media that they broke into his house before his lawyer could arrive. What I think is that for offences of this nature, it is very heavy-handed and wholly unjustified, whatever the number may be, 5, 6 or 20. The police, they were obviously employing a tactic which they have used many times in the past by sending a group of officers to an activist or politician's house to arrest them. And such actions were clearly unnecessary. These are activists or politicians. You know, they are not armed criminals. They are not robbers or murderers. And this wasn't the first time Fahmi has been investigated or arrested. He has always cooperated in the past. And all that they needed to do is to contact him. And he'll be there. He'll assist in investigations. There was no reason to arrest him from his house and detain him overnight. The investigations could have been done without the need to actually detain him. So to me, this entire episode, it's wholly for the purposes of harassment.
Okay, so based on the profile of Fahmi Reza and the type of allegation being investigated, you view the police action as more of an intimidation tactic rather than out of necessity. Let's turn to the laws under which Fahmi Reza is currently being investigated under. So the police statement coming out after the arrest said that he's being investigated for offenses under the Sedition Act and also Section 233 of the Communications and Multimedia Act. How does the law define sedition?
The law defines sedition very broadly, and sedition means any act, any speech, words, publications, or other things that has a tendency to bring into hatred or contempt or excite disaffection against any ruler or against any government. It is also seditious if that act, speech, words, or other things has a tendency to raise discontent or disaffection amongst the subjects of the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong or rulers of any state. Ruler, you know, it's defined as the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong, His Majesty Yang Di-Pertuan Agong, or the ruler or the Yang Di-Pertuan Negeri of any state in Malaysia. What's interesting in Fahmi's case is that from the definition alone, ruler doesn't include the Raja Permaisuri Agong.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems that Fahmi's satire is targeted at the Raja Permaisuri Agong, who's not protected under the Sedition Act. But I suppose, you know, he could still be investigated under Section 223 of the Communications and Multimedia Act.
So the Sedition Act appears to place these broad prohibitions on any critique of the monarchy in Malaysia, which seems akin to the Lese Majeste law in Thailand. Are they the same? Do they have the same parameters?
I'm not sure about the exact parameters of Thailand's Lese Majeste law, but I would say that both the Sedition Act and Thailand's Lese Majeste law, it falls under the same class of laws that prohibits free speech. And it does so in a very broad, very vague and very draconian manner. So it could very well be the truth that one is saying about the monarchy, whether in Thailand or in Malaysia. But that truth, speaking the truth, could constitute a criminal offense.
I see. And that is the flaw, really, of these kinds of blanket prohibitions on certain issues, whether it's the monarchy or any sensitive issue, in that it can prevent the truth from being revealed to the public. What defense does a person have against a charge of sedition?
Well, for the Sedition Act, it is a defense if the attack, speech, words, or publications that has been made has a tendency to show that any ruler has been misled or mistaken in any of his measures. Put in another way, the criticism needs to be constructive, and that would constitute a defense, I would think, in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to be done so, you know, in a tasteful manner. I don't think in the past there has been terribly many cases where a defense of sedition has succeeded. This is all, well, we could say, purely theoretical. How it's being applied, I think it's something else.
And what about Section 233 of the Communications and Multimedia Act? What defenses are available?
For Section 233, it's much wider. So if you send or post something online that is obscene, indecent, false, or menacing, or offensive, and you do so, and I emphasize that because intention is an element of Section 233, and you do so with the intent to annoy, abuse, threaten, or harass another person, it becomes an offense under Section 233. So in order to defend yourself under Section 233, you would have to show the contrary. You have to show that the predominant intention is not to annoy, abuse, threaten, or harass, but rather to show their faults or weaknesses, and in Fahmy's case, in a humorous way. But I suppose in Fahmy's case, it's going to be difficult because it is a satire. And satire, by its very nature, will more often than not be offensive to the target.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that the target of the satire will be annoyed. And I suppose you could say the same for any criticisms, really. And, you know, Section 233, as well as the Sedition Act, it poses a very serious problem to free speech and expression. Because if you prohibit speech and expression that someone else or a certain class of people do not like, you're making free speech and expression impossible. You are effectively regulating how people are communicating with each other. And I think that's impossible. Because every day on the internet, countless internet users are posting something offensive. And more often than not, they do so knowing that it's probably going to annoy someone else. But, you know, coming back to the facts of this case, when we say annoy, and I suspect that is what Fahmy is being investigated under, offensive speech with the intention to annoy, who exactly is annoyed? I do not think that Her Majesty Raja Permaisuri Agong had lodged a report, and I certainly do not think that Her Majesty is annoyed. From what we know, it was a past MP. So if the test is that they are annoyed, then I think that is the wrong way to apply Section 233, because you're applying it in a way where anything posted online, as long as someone else is annoyed by it, or you do so with the knowing that it could annoy someone else and not the specific person, then you are making it impossible. You're creating this climate of fear where it's really difficult for anyone to say something that they may think. You're creating a chilling effect on free speech and expression.
How then would you respond to those who would probably agree with you on most parts on the need to make sure that there's no chilling effect on free speech and how people should be given the space to express themselves, but who may also believe that there are certain red lines that shouldn't be crossed? How would you respond to those who believe that political satire of this nature is out of bounds?
Well, I think that the monarchy is not so fragile a flower that requires protections under the law. And I think the institution would be strengthened and people would show greater respect to the institution without such laws. Because this formula, silencing free speech, driving free speech underground. It has been tested before, and people come out angrier. People come out more dissatisfied than being allowed to rant what they want online, even though it's done distastefully. And I'm not saying that I condone such free speech, the exercise of free speech in such a manner where it's offensive or it's distasteful or it's obscene. But I'm saying that someone shouldn't go to jail simply because what they have posted online. I think that is disproportionate, and I think that doesn't do any service to the government or the monarchy.
But I think we can all agree that freedom of speech is not unfettered. There are acceptable limits. So if these laws don't work, how do we ensure that people use this right responsibly? I'm sure there are many who would say we need these laws because Malaysians or human beings really aren't good at policing themselves.
Well, we need certain laws. And like you said, we need certain laws because free speech is not unfettered. It's a right that can be derogated. But the derogation of such rights needs to be very limited. And the international standard is that when free speech causes harm or it's to promote hatred or to promote discrimination against another person, then there can be censorship. But if we were to broaden that very limited category, then we are creating an environment where you're creating a standard where you have to police every single speech. And I think that's counterproductive to democracy, and it certainly doesn't help in silencing those who have made such speeches, because they will go underground and they will find another way, or they will hide behind a pseudonym to communicate their dissatisfaction. So the best thing to do is to put it out there so that the people themselves is able to judge for themselves and point out that these people are wrong. The best sanitizer for false speech is more speech. Something that is false will be pointed out by the masses that it is false, rather than to jail somebody or making false or offensive speech.
Thanks, Sinyu, for weighing in with your insight. That was lawyer New Sinyu talking to us about the Fahmi Reza investigation and the laws that apply. If you're interested in more discussions on satire, freedom of expression, and media freedom, download the BFM app if you haven't yet and explore our wide range of available content on these issues. That's all for Pressing Matters today. Stay tuned for the 10 a.m. news bulletin followed by Enterprise. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.